Holy shit, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another episode of the Excellence Cartel. Oh, today I'm joined by the mighty Jason Theobald, the amazing Jeffrey Sue, myself, Jeff Black. We are going to cover mentorships, the ins and outs. No, we're not that fucking three-letter NCIBCI hype team bullshit, close stuff fucking out. We're actually going to talk about like real mentorships and what the fuck that actually means, rather than be better, do better, and all that. I don't give a shit, man. I'll say it out loud. I mean, everybody in the room knows. It is what it is. So if you guys are listening, these two gentlemen provide an excellent mentorship, but the whole space actually has mentors in it as well. And what we would really, what we felt we wanted to do today was talk about like what the perceptions are of mentoring, what actually goes on, what the teaching is, and what you should be looking for and considering when looking for a mentorship. Because every business is different. Every business has its own needs. Every business has its own niche and all these things. But we figured we would really, really break that out and kind of get going. So now that you guys know I'm ready to deliver a sermon of fire and spit from a fire hose, let's get into how our last 7 days have been. Jason, the man with the beautiful house, how is life in Kentucky on the golf course? Do you see like it? Does anyone like pull their dick out and start pissing on the middle of the golf course, like where you can like see that?
No.
All right, no, I'm just curious.
It's a pretty nice course. You spend a lot of money to belong there.
You don't have any drunks just randomly out there with natty light, just wow, just
not that far.
All right, fair,
but it's cool. Things are good. Business is great. I've been signing a lot of new clients. I've got four group mentors filled with about 13 people in each. So I got, and then I've got a wait list for a group five. So I'm only one person, can only spend, you know, so much time, but I'll keep running them. So if you're interested in getting on the wait list for group five, just let me know. I just dropped a new class, considerations for fat loss and like females who have had metabolic issues, but I go into things like PCT for females. I go into period restoration phases. What else do I go into? I go into cortisol resets, all these different little tools that I use. I don't use every one of them necessarily and everybody, but I use them in and out. And so I dropped that. It's only $150. If you're interested, you can find it on my IG, on my feed, and you can just email me. That's about it, I think. Aiden's team finally lost last night in regionals. They lost 2-3. It was a bummer. And he literally had a shot at the last 4 seconds, hit it to the corner. The goalie just made a damn good save that would have tied the game. So it was an exciting game. But I think that's about all that's going on in my world right now.
Is he going to go play anywhere at the next level?
Well, Northern Kentucky is a Division I. They've contacted him. Ohio State contacted him like last year, but we haven't heard from them since. He hasn't really looked at any like D2 or D3 schools, which I know he could easily do. And he can play at the D1 level. It's just the only one that's really looked at him is Northern Kentucky. So he'll probably just stay home and go play there is my guess.
Nice, man. Well, congratulations to him.
Yep. You
know, I know he's worked a long time for that goal.
Yep, definitely.
Awesome. Jeff, how's your last 7 days been, Mr.
Smith? Very, very good, man. You know, obviously my client, Eric Albert, he took the overall win at the East Coast.
He looked good, man. Good job sucking him down to middleweight. Right call.
Yeah, I think that was the right call. There were a lot of people who were saying, oh, you know, keep him light heavy, make him light heavy. But no, I had my mind and eye set for middles. And of course, you know, I was bouncing some ideas off of you guys and both of you agreed definitely middle. So yeah, we made that happen. It was a great overall battle. He went up against light heavy and heavy, and those guys look good too. It was competitive overall. And
yeah, he won on conditioning, you know,
he won on conditioning. Yeah. Yep.
The heavy, yep. I think it's the heavy. He's got all the tools. He just kind of looked blurry.
Yeah. Well, the thing is like, you know, we're going to have, you know, Andrew Berry on in a couple of weeks, you know, so he's Andrew Berry's client. So, you know, there's strategy to these shows, right? Leading up to nationals. So you don't have to be shredded at every show. You just need to qualify. Sure. So it kind of depends on what, you know, each coach's strategy is. But my strategy was to go in guns blaring and, you know, make a statement, win the overall, and then maintain that conditioning to New England. So I told Eric if he makes middleweight, I will kick in $1,000 to bring him to Florida for nationals because money's a little tight with all the competitions.
Yeah, it's expensive, man.
So I told him if he wins, I will help him. You know,
wins the overall or wins the middleweight?
If he just wins middleweight, we're gonna go.
I can't imagine he wouldn't do that. I mean, is that? I mean, there's not many bodybuilders showing up anymore. Half of them aren't in shape. Like, is this gonna be a big show?
Well, it's nationals in Orlando.
No, I'm talking about
New England.
Said if he won middleweight.
Oh, New England's show. No, New England's in 2 weeks is traditionally a very competitive show hosted by Cutler up here. So it's good quality. But, you know, of course, you know, Jason, anytime, you know, you have a client winning overall, you get a lot of inquiries. So I've been fielding a lot of competitors, not the hormonal stuff that I usually get. So I signed a client last night. I have two consults tomorrow. I moved one coach off my wait list onto mentoring. She took a Thursday slot that I had opened up. So everything is good. And the Porsche is 24 days away. They changed it now.
Sweet.
Wow.
Life is good.
Man, it totally. Oh, yeah. I was going to ask you a question. What the fuck's going on where you can't take photos at shows? What was that you were posted in your story? I've always video. Just put my phone up.
You can take photos. I don't want you taking video.
No, you can't. You can't do both. They have signs saying like, you know, you can't. You have to buy photos from the photographer. I don't know if it's just New England shows.
That's got to be New England. That doesn't happen here.
My client logged on. It's $57 per photo.
What?
So, yeah. Just like if you have a shot of a side chest, $57. You want the shot of you hitting a back double bicep? Another $57.
That's ridiculous.
That's so fucking ridiculous. I should be packaged out, like get all your poses for X.
And that's another dumb thing I hear in this industry. Jesus.
They're just fucking like nickel and diming you like every fucking way, dude.
Yeah, I saw that and that was kind of slightly disheartening, but I guess it kind of speaks further to me making sure that, you know, the next couple of years I compete, that the plane lands the way I want it to, and I'm going to have people sneak a photo. So when you all go, I'll be like, take fucking photos of me. Take them everywhere.
The fucked up part, Jeff, was like they had a stipulation on the website that said you can't use it for professional use. So if you're a coach and you compete and they took a photo of you and you bought that photo, you can't then put that photo on your website and market your own coaching services.
Oh, right? I would challenge that in court. I'd be like, see you in court, fuckers.
Yeah, so it's all – that guy's –
That's crazy. Oh god. All right. Well, congrats to your guy, man. He looked great. I'm glad he sucked down, made that win happen. Yep. See, my last 7 days have been good. I watched my Vols roll into LSU and stomp some ass. and then had a nice dinner at Jeff Ruby's, man. Gotta do that. Had a couple smoked bourbons, celebrating some stuff, and then rolled around, did nothing on Sunday. I'm working on my sunroom. So Danny's starting to get that project together. And Otherwise, man, I'm like you all, slow stream of clients. Like, you know, just, you know, I think around this time of the year, it kind of picks back up. People want to get in shape before like Thanksgiving or something, like you'll see, or people even starting to prepare for their shows next year, you know, already starting to think about that. So that was cool. And then we have PEC 7. It's January 27th, 28th. It's Tampa. I will not be presenting. Aaron Crawford will be taking my spot. I'll be running the PEC. Jason, what is your topic?
I'm going to do a deep dive into female PCT, like really hone in on that.
That'd be badass. And Jeff, what are you going to talk about?
Insulin resistance and PCOS, but a deep dive into like the cellular pathways of how exactly you know that takes place.
Nice. And then we have Alan Aragon joining us. We have Dr. Scott Stevenson, Brandon DeCruz, Austin Stout. Austin's doing methylation. Me and him had gone back and forth through email, and I was like, he gave me a couple topics. I'm like, I really think methylation is confused a lot. I think this would be a great one for you to talk about. And Austin knows his stuff there. And then we have Brandon, and I think we're waiting on confirmation of one more topic to come through. We'll have to switch out speakers, but otherwise, guys, if you want your tickets, those will be going up in a few weeks. So will the flyer. And then the coaching consortium, Jeff, would you like to talk on that real quick?
Yeah. So, you know, things are picking up, you know, I think we're at like 13, 14 people right now. I'm updating our spreadsheet. So it's going to be 7 speakers. They're not going to be the same topics presented at PEC. They're completely different, even though some of the speakers are going to overlap. And there are also topics that none of us have ever presented before on our own or at any other event. So we're making sure that the consortium is very unique. And tickets are on sale, $349 for 2 days worth of learning. $349 if you pay before the 1st of December. After that, it goes to $399.
Yeah, I do think what's going to be cool about this one, ladies and gentlemen, is we are presenting all day Saturday, and then we're giving you all the rest of the day to formulate your questions, and then we're going to do a 2-hour Q&A on Sunday. And we think that that's going to be a really great experience. I know a couple of people I've talked to thought that that was an awesome idea. But with that being said, before we get into our topic, if you guys will like, share us, review us, get us out there, all the things you guys keep doing, we love hearing it. But let's get into mentorship. So this is the topic that I think that COVID ushered in mentorships into our space. You know, you had a lot of people at home, a lot of people looking to find another income stream who maybe, you know, were in shape, liked health, liked fitness.
I did my first mentorship in 2019.
Okay. Well, I think the part of it like exploded, like it really took off though in like 2020. I mean, the concept of it wasn't until I think COVID where more people were at home, Zooms were more popular and all that, that it took off. I mean, I think all of us have mentored people to some degree or another, but as far as like big bill ticket items, like, you know, where you can go and pay $30,000 to be told to do better, or to dance in front of a reel or something like that, I think kind of really appeared on the scene in 2020. But there's all sorts of different ones out there. You know, I pick on one all the time just because I just kind of like to, and it's just, I'm an asshole, but it is what it is. But there's some really good ones out there. And I want you guys to like each give your views on what mentorship is. And then I'll kind of plug in because I'm the only one of you three of us three that does not do mentorships anymore. So, Jeff, I'm going to turn it to you. What's your thoughts on mentorship? Like, what is it to you? What are you offering and what are you doing? Then let's get into like the people's perception and things like that.
Well, I want to start off by saying that, you know, I consider myself a mentee of Jason's because I was a client of his for such a long time. You know, like, I think, Jason, I was like your third or fourth client when you first started coaching under Natty Nutrition. And, you know, Jason and I, we talked like every day. He like, I told him about breakups I was going through, job changes. He saw me like finish like, you know, he got my first job, go to grad school, all this stuff. And you know, I consider Jason a very close friend of mine because of these things that you kind of coached me through. It wasn't just the bodybuilding. And that was my first experience of being mentored. And in my mind, a mentorship should be like that. It's not just about the technical knowledge. It's about like shaping a person's like mind and spirit too. Because that's what you did for me. And I tell everyone this, I wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for you. So.
Appreciate that.
Jason, what would you like to say, sir?
Well, you know, I kind of look at it as you're kind of a guide, you know, and to have an analogy, you're teaching and what you're trying to do is keep them moving in the right direction, but they're going to veer left, they're going to veer right. So think of bumper bowling, right? Like I'm kind of like providing the bumpers. You might go left, you might go right, but we're going to get you down the lane and to where you need to be. But you might make some mistakes along the way, and I'm there to help as you do that. So for me, it's more of like being a guide. If that includes some personal stuff, so be it. But I don't think it always has to either. It can be mainly educational as well. So,
okay. So since you guys have the mentorship, so in fairness, I did mentor people. I did more of a consulting role. I would just work with people in their companies, more stand-up stuff, helping them get their business going. When people come to you, what are their perceptions of mentorships? Because like we talked about, the space is full of a lot of different options. You have the be better path. You have it's pure education path. You have a mix of both. What do people kind of come to you guys with the perceptions of mentorship?
Do you want me to start again?
Doesn't matter.
Okay. Well, I think, you know, like you said, you know, all of us, you know, I think a lot of coaches out there had the one-off DMs and say, hey, I got this, you know, trouble client case or whatever. Can you help me or run things by you or whatever? I think all of us have done that way before 2019. But, you know, with the pandemic, it certainly ushered a change in many people's careers, especially personal trainers. And a lot of people wanted to go on that online space. And of course, that creates a financial opportunity for people who want to help the people who want to go to the online space. So you had the creation of a lot of larger organizations that capitalized on that early on as a first mover advantage. But I think they also created a necessary perception of making money. Like, we know you just quit your, long time 9-to-5 and you need to make money. Well, you know what? We can help you make 10K a month in less than 90 days. And that's how it started, the focus on money. Then you had people who are more focused on knowledge. We want to teach you everything, right? But they're missing that holistic component, which I mentioned about, being a client of Jason's for so long. Jason wasn't shoving knowledge down my throat every day, nor was he, helping me make money. He was helping me become a better, more well-rounded, mature human being. And that, to me, is the core of coaching. You have to be able to do that for yourself in order to lead other people.
Yeah.
Jason?
What was the question again?
What are the perceptions that people have when they come to you and you start talking to them? Because I think we all attract different people. I mean, in the sense of what people needs are not. I think Jeff did a good job.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of questions that people ask. I try to make my marketing pretty clear of what I'm doing. I don't know that many people come to me and with weird questions about that I can develop into perception. We can speculate. I mean, I'm sure some people think mentorship is I tell you how to do everything and I do all the work for you. That's certainly not how I do it. I think trial by fire is the best way to learn. I provide you the knowledge. You got to go out and do it. If you want to run something by me, that's great. So I don't think a mentor is someone that does everything for you. But some people may think that. Sometimes people will ask me, do I do any business stuff in my introduction to functional health, functional nutrition? And I don't. But I don't know if that's a perception. I know Jeff does a mix. I could do it. I just don't know that at this moment I really enjoy it. And I've put together a really nice functional nutrition course. So I don't know, man. That's about all I got on that. I don't know. Maybe you got some in your head and that's why you asked the question.
Well, I think what it is I think where our space is, you have three different, I guess, categories of mentorship: business, education, and then personal. So kind of how do you, I guess I'll turn this back to you, Jeff, with your mentorship, when people come to you, what are their perceptions and how do you tease that out? Because like you said, there's a lot of people who go who are seeing the whole, oh shit, I can make 10K in 90 days and I'll be making 120K in a year and I'll be rich as fuck. And it doesn't really work like that. So I was just curious, what your thoughts were, because you have a very, probably a little bit more of a bolted up version of a mentorship than Jason does in that regards.
So I'm lucky. I think we've been both lucky, Jason and I, that we don't get people who are, seeking the financial gain right away. I've never encountered somebody in my intakes where they're like, oh, Jeff, I want to make a lot of money. I think you're the guy who can help me do that. So I've gotten the bulk of my mentees are beginner coaches, maybe year one to year five, that don't have the knowledge and aren't aggressive enough or don't know how to show their personality on social media. So I help them do that within the context of building a business. And then on the other side of my business, maybe 30% of my mentees, right, are well-established coaches who have sometimes more clients than I do, but they don't know how to get the results. So we just do case reviews. But they have a business machine behind them. So it's a really interesting mix. But what I tell everybody, Jeff, is that, I'm not here to help you make money. I'm here to help you build a very strong foundation that months down the line will serve you. You're going to be like, oh my God, Jeff taught me this. Now I get it. It's not an immediate sense of a transactional reward. Okay.
Yeah. So that's, I guess, this is where I think we should have a discussion then. So what, as I have seen, as I pick on, the three letter company about things, it's more like a business mentorship and it's a bastardized version of it. Cause to me, it's like you're hiring a consulting company that's telling you how to run your business, but you're not really running your business. So where do people, where are they coming to you guys? Like, you guys are basically saying like, hey, they're not really coming to us for that. But why do you think that the mentorship and the business side of our industry is so hot right now? Like, it's still the big thing. Why do you think people are still going towards business mentorships, in quotes?
Jason, you want to take that one?
Well, I mean, I would assume it's because here's the thing. When I became a coach, I was already a lawyer. I was already working under an entrepreneur who has $50, $60 million in businesses under him. I was doing all his work. I saw how he operated. I didn't need necessarily a course on business. A lot of these people, now that this is the cool thing and also what makes this a very competitive space, now these young kids, 21, 22, they know that coaching is a lucrative career and they're coming right out of school and trying to do this. And so they don't have a lick of idea of even how to file an LLC or even probably go set up a business bank account and what you need and the SS4, all these different things. They don't know it. They've never had to live it. So my guess is that's why it's super important. I find it unfortunate when they get with these business type coaches and they try to make the coach this big CEO who has maybe 10 clients and then, they have 20 coaches. Well, that's great until those coaches say, you know what? I want to be on my own. I'll make more money. And now you got 10 clients and now you're scrambling as these people drop off. So I don't even like the model. Like I've been doing this 15 years. I'm still busting my ass. I'm not going to tell you my clients I have, but it's a good number. And so for me, I think that's still the way to do it. Build your coaching coaches under you, but also you need to be on the front line still taking clients. That's my opinion. And I kind of diverted off there, but
no, goddamn. I love it when you get fired up and start smacking your hand and shit. It's real nice when I see it. No, and that's what I was getting at. Like, when we were in PC Dallas, I'd met with some people who were in those business courses and was looking at their stuff and they're running an online business with overheads higher than my brick and mortar. Yeah. And I was like, how is that even possible? Yeah. And they had no clue, like how to, like you said, how to set up an LLC, how to do this, how to do that. No clue on taxes. It was just constant build the machine, build the machine, build the machine. These people ended up hating their companies because they weren't even running their companies. There was no vision to it. It was just like, okay, what's your why? All right, well, that's your why. Go monetize. And it's like, but there's so many other intricacies involved that it just like, I feel like ruined the mentorships of business, which is why I kind of stepped out of it. Cause I love business, but the space is just,
you could stay in and be the change that's needed.
I could be, look at you. I've done acid this week. So therefore it like really hit home. You just said that. So we're good.
You know, Jeff, that's one of the things that I find sad about these larger organizations and the younger people who buy into this and actually go into debt for it, because it robs you of the joy of building a business.
Bingo.
It's really a journey. I'm sure all three of us here have had great experiences, both ups and downs, but great stories that we could tell people about our journey so far to where we are today. And when you get plugged into a machine like that, you're so hands-off that you don't get to get your hands dirty at all. You're just kind of sitting back and you miss that part of growth. It's like if you just like your memory was just erased of like the time you were in like high school and college, and all of a sudden you're just like 35 years old and married. You just missed out on like all this part of your life. And it's like that's sad, you know.
Mm-hmm. I think we've kind of hammered home that we are not pleased with the business. So let's actually like have a discussion on that. If we were to launch a Excellence Cartel mentorship for business, how would we like frame that, do you guys think? Like if we were to say, hey, we're going to do some one-off classes to work with you guys on business, how would we build that? Let's have a little creative like stint here so the audience can hear how we like warpath or put stuff together.
I think at the bare minimum, me being the attorney, I'd go over, how do you set up an LLC? When is the right time to set up an LLC? What insurances do you need? What's your waiver look like? How do you set up a business bank account? How do you use the business bank account? You can't use it to pay your bills. You can send yourself money and then pay out of your personal account. But if you pay out of your business account, they can pierce that veil and hold you liable for anything. So there's a lot of little things that, I know because I worked obviously Boyer and I work for an entrepreneur, but they may not know. So I know if I was going to teach a business course, that would be like one of the first lessons is like, let's get your foundation right. Mm-hmm. And then work on like, okay, what's your avatar? What's your brand? How are you going to do it? And then Sue has, you know, always Jeffrey has great, like great things that like, you know, he knows about like the mental side of people on social media. So I watch a lot of what he does. Yeah. So I think that's how it would kind of lay along. But that's where I would start.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Jeff, what about you? And by the way, you fucked up before me, Jason. I just want to point that out.
Dude, I got 15 years. I got 15 years.
It's okay. It's okay. I'm just saying you fucked up for me. That's okay.
I would say, you know, to echo what Jason said, though, you know, the mental side is what I teach the most. And I guess I would start there. And there are actually some lessons that I consistently have to repeat to people. And, you know, I can list the three on this podcast, but I would say the first one is I don't suggest niching down. I tell people don't try to find the niche. And these big name companies that you mentioned, Jeff, are the ones that tell people to say, hey, you should help, you know, women over 45 mm-hmm. with 2.5 kids on how to eat healthier without giving up their favorite foods. And yep. you see that stupid tagline in everyone's Instagram. And so here's the thing. When you niche down, you do a couple of disservices. Number one, you miss out on learning different types of physiques, functions, and problems that occur. If you only coach bodybuilders, you only coach perimenopausal women or whatever, you're limited in terms of knowledge. Then secondly, which is a greater disservice, is that you limit yourself in terms of the personality types that you coach. So if you only coach bodybuilders who are robotic and are willing to suffer, you have no people skills to get the mom who is struggling with self-esteem to follow a nutrition program for the first time in her life. So when you niche down, you remove yourself from great learning opportunities.
I 100% agree.
That's a great point. That is a great point.
And furthermore on that, it also limits you on your, you know, it's like coaches who don't work with women, you know, like you're cutting out half of the world. So, you know, if you're this small niche, you know, you're maybe 10% of the people fit into that category. Now you got to fight every other jackass who took that business course and has the same avatar.
Exactly.
Yeah. And you know, I think it was what a couple of years, maybe I read that like men spend about $200 to $300 a month on personal self-care, where women will spend like anywhere from $500 to $800 a month on personal care. So you're going to just throw away, like you said, of 50%. I guess for me, I'd have three points that I would talk to people about would be like the juice. And what I mean by that is like, are you willing, is the juice worth the squeeze? Like, can you do 7 days a week for 7 years straight, not look up, not be bothered, not care that your friend got a Corvette sitting in the driveway and you're still driving a Jetta?
7 years? I'm still
No. I'm just trying to say, but you see this shit on social media where they'll be like, oh, look at me. I have all this time management freedom and everybody's travel. I'm like, great. You know, but that's like one out of every 1,000 people gets that look. You know what I mean? So I think that the ability to like really sit with it, like, could you put years upon years into this? You know, Andy Frisella always talks about it with supplement superstores. You know, it was a long, long time before he ever collected any kind of money. I think over 10 years from what he was saying, you know, just putting it back into the company, grow. The second one would be execution. You know, do you execute every day? Can you show up every day and do the same shit day in and day out? And most importantly, work with people on your team or work with other people to execute for you to get results. And the last one I'm a big believer in is leadership. You know, the ability to like refine who you are so eventually you can lead others. Because if you're going to grow a business, you got to learn how to communicate effectively with other people, either in your industry or people who are going to help you grow your business. And they don't really talk about all that. But I do like where the conversation is going in regards to that. So if we were to ever do an Excellence Cartel business seminar, I guess we have some framework to do. You know, there'll be no hype man shit. Now, I want to get on to the educational side of mentorship. What do you guys see in the space regards to the education side? And how did you guys set your mentorships up different? Like, you know, do some mentorships like only cover certain things? I don't know enough about it, but I know you guys have researched your markets. So I feel like let's have a discussion about what's out there in the education space for mentorships and what might a coach be looking for in that. Jeff, you already talked earlier that they're 1 to 5 year coaches, but at what point does a person say like, hey, I should get an educational mentor?
Well, I think the education, you know, should come first, because you need to be able to have a baseline of knowledge, right? And then after you have that knowledge, you need to be able to start to apply it and practice it, right? So think of, like, you know, going to med school. Doctors first get knowledge. Then they usually have an internship or a residency where they're working with, you know, senior physicians on patient cases. And then, you know, they're in their fellowship or whatever, then they're officially doctors or however that works. I don't know the terminology exactly. But I imagine it should be the same way. I just wanted to go back on something you said earlier about the big name businesses telling people niche down. I think the only people who are laughing all the way to the bank with that are the owners of those big name business coaching outfits, because they tell everyone to niche down. You've got to pay like 30K to learn how to niche down. And then you're left to fight for the scraps with everyone else who niche down in the same niches that you niche down in. And then, and then the only people who made money are the people at the top. So it's just a giant fucking pyramid scheme or something.
Yeah. And all it does is pollute the industry. Yeah. Like when I talked about that, the new ethics event, you know, the social media, everyone's so tuned into social media, they're tuned out of talking to people in the real world when they're out in restaurants or malls or grocery stores where those people would potentially be interested in a coach, you know, and, yeah, and things like that. Yeah. 'Cause the space is just so full of, well, you know, you can look how you want, eat these favorite foods, and you never have to really suffer. And that's not the case. Jason, what about you, man, on that? Do you have anything you'd like to chime in?
Sure. I mean, I you know, my mentorship is mainly educational. You know, I'm not sitting there telling you how to analyze how the consumer thinks and how to go about posting on Instagram. Jeff's very good at that. So I leave that to him. Where I shine is that I know functional nutrition very well, and I can help someone retain clients way better than they can only knowing macros, training, and cardio. Yep. And so for me, most people that come to me, they've already got like a business set up. They've usually got a good amount of clients. They need this knowledge to go to the next level. And that's the way I see it. I'm not teaching you how to pair macros and all that. This is, I do next level, you know, functional nutrition education. And I do it over 16 weeks with my mentorships. And I offer, I will do one-on-ones, but those are more expensive. I've been doing the groups. They're less expensive for the people. I can touch more people at the same time with the education.
Yeah.
And that's where I've been going kind of down that route. People seem to be liking that group style.
Yeah. I think it touches more people and it makes better use of your time. I'm sure it's, you know, great for revenue as well.
Sure.
I'm going to try the group thing in January, but I've been doing the one-on-ones as you guys have known. But, you know, going back to your question, Jeff, about what I focus on, it's more so the psychology behind managing clients and, you know, managing potential clients. So I teach my coaches, like, how you approach, let's say, you know, the concept of risk versus certainty, or, you know, how do you approach a difficult client who's about to quit? What do you say to them to keep them on your roster? How do you close a sale without being salesy and pushy? How do you market to people and hit those pain points without, you know, being a shark, basically? So these are the little things that I teach these younger coaches, because they don't have the life experience to recognize these social interactions and these little loopholes that you can take advantage of and to be in your favor for both you and the client.
Do you guys, either of you guys, do like any personal mentoring? And what I mean by that is helping individuals like on a personal level, whether it be refine their leadership, whether it be work through hard situations that they need help with to become a better business owner. Do you guys have any of those that you guys work with? Jason's shaking his head no. Jeff's shaking his head yes. So Jeff, yeah, I'll pitch it back to you and throw the frisbee. So what does that entail for you? Because I have an interesting take on this.
Well, you know, to be honest, you know, some of my higher ticket mentorships, like the people who are paying me $2,000 a month or $3,000 a month.
I wish I had that kind of money.
They're not very technical conversations. You'd be surprised. A lot of them are therapy sessions between me and the business owner. Like sometimes, like, they just want to sit there and talk and I just listen. So that's what's going on those calls, because a lot of business owners are stressed the fuck out. They're lost. They often feel inadequate. And there's a lot of imposter syndrome going on, especially with the younger coaches. So that's a lot of the mentoring that I do, is guiding those fears that coaches have.
Yeah, I have a different take on it. I do a lot of personal mentoring. Like, I work with people one-on-one, really trying to help them get through stuff, mostly the art of believing in themselves. Because you guys know, as business owners, man, it's a lonely island out there. Like, every day you wake up, it's the pressure of, holy shit, if I don't show up, a lot of people can suffer. You know, you don't get a day off, you know what I mean? From the thoughts. So yeah. For me, like, my mentor who works with me, he's scaled two companies, day figures. A lot of what he talks to me about is like, what am I doing for myself to get better in working in that regards? And I think a lot of mentorships miss that in the business world. Like, when they teach the business stuff, they don't teach you how to they teach you how to grow a business, but they don't teach you how to cope with growing a business. Do you know what I mean? Like you can grow that thing, but I can't tell you how many times I put my head against my shower wall and just sat there for about a good 10 minutes, just let the water pour down me, thinking like, today's the day I say fuck it, burn it all to the ground and walk away and go to Costa Rica. You know what I mean? Like, only to snap to my senses. But there's something I want to talk to you guys about, which just popped in my mind. I made a note because I think we got those three pillars done. I can't really think of why else you would want a mentor in our space, unless it was for business, education, or personal, potentially, because as business owners, we can relate to each other, you know. And by the way, if y'all are listening, I don't mind mentoring people personally. I enjoy those. But who should consider mentoring? Ooh, that's a question.
Anyone.
Okay, but should you have certain qualifications? Because like what you see right now is like, hey, I have a 20K business. I'm doing a master class. Who should be offering mentoring? Better stated, John. Okay. Who should consider, like, is there like a certain right that you get to where you're like, I'm no longer a Padawan, I'm a Jedi, you know what I mean? Like exactly. Yeah, I'd be interested to hear Gramps's view on this, since he's the oldest right up there with me in the industry on that.
I mean, I think most of the time you need to be seasoned. And have some
defined seasoned. Like, what does that look like to you?
I don't want to put a year on it. But just have had, okay. So whatever you're going to mentor in, you better have been practicing it. You better have been applying it. You better know it. Like, you can't just write this shit up and then think, okay, well, you know, I'm going to be a business mentor and your business is like worth $2,000 a month. So there's got to be some season to it. But I hate to put a time frame on it, because I think some people after 2-3 years might know a topic really good. And as long as they stay in that niche, that's great. But overall, I really think you should have built something. You should be seasoned, you should be able to apply it. And you know, I think if you hop into it too soon and you don't have that foundation, people will look at you as a joke.
Agreed.
And then it's going to be very hard to dig out of that.
Agreed. Jeff, before you go, I want to say how I think of it, and then that way it might spark you to kind of chime in a little bit differently. I look at it like the five laws of leadership: position, permission, production, people development, pinnacle. I don't think you should be mentoring until you've proven you've developed other people, either underneath your own brand, outside your other brand, because anyone can produce results. I think we've seen that with working with coaches in our space, where people are very much like, oh man, like, I did all these outstanding numbers. So immediately people go, okay, well, you know, they made 50K last month, that qualifies them. But is it really a qualifier? I think it's more, have you developed people who've gone out there, who've done similar work to you and actually created impact or changed lives or done something of substance to say, like, you actually mentored that person to be able to help them get there?
Yeah. You know, this brings up a funny statement, which, you know, I didn't come up with the saying, but in the world of mentoring, in terms of who is doing the mentoring, the wrong people have imposter syndrome.
100%.
Yep. And what I mean by that is there are too many overconfident, like, cocky individuals who think they can do it and they have no life experiences, no introspection there. They haven't had, they didn't lose 34 clients in a quarter and question their existence. Like, I've been through a lot of shit. I've had people threaten to take me to court. I've had to fire clients. I had a guy like threaten to like destroy my car once. I had to call the cops on something. Like, I've had like,
wow,
a ton of crazy stuff happen to me. And those are the stories that have, and the experiences that have made me smarter and wiser. And that's maturity, right? But, you know, the wrong people have imposter syndrome. And I'm with Jason. Like, if you haven't lived and breathed it, you don't have it in you to direct that, you know, outcome with someone else, with somebody else's business. So
where do you guys think that our industry goes heading into 2023 regarding mentorships and the current state of our industry? Because I almost think that the industry is starting to shift a little bit again. I think that cleaned out a lot of the coaches who thought that it would be a good idea to start a business. People realized like, oh shit, it's actually going to take something for me to do this, and kind of fell to the wayside. Where do you guys see it going based upon your observations?
I'd like to go. I think people are going to realize you don't have to drop 20, 30, 40 grand to
yes.
get a really good education. You know, my class, it's a steal. I mean, four payments of $300. And I mean, the amount of clients you'll be able to help from it, you'll get your money back in probably a month.
At least for content creation writing, it'll help for sure.
Yeah. So to me, I think people start to realize they don't have to go into debt to do this. And, you know, Jeffrey, Sue, and myself will be right there with a nice ticketed item where we're not trying to gouge someone. We really, truly want to help you and make better coaches, because we, all three of us collectively, want the industry to be better. And that's what
kind
of dawned the podcast. And that's what created PEC. So I think our message has always been that. And that's kind of what I hope will start to be seen.
Yeah. I think, Jason, like the people who are real and who really want to help people and who actually know their shit, results speak over time. And time is the greatest equalizer. So I know, you know, us three, we've talked in the back channels about how we're frustrated seeing like copycats, duplicates, ripoffs, things like that, stealing classes or whatever. But at the end of the day, that'll all wash itself out clear over time. And, you know, with the pricing and how you offer an affordable group mentorship, that's why I have my email mentorship, which is $500 a month. I have an offering for every price level or every budget, because some of these coaches who are making 20, 30 grand a month, those are the coaches doing the 2000, or, you know, someone who has a good chunk of money saved that they can invest in a set period of time with me. Those are the coaches who are doing that. I'm not putting people on payment plans. I always have a discussion before people sign on, and I ask them, what's your financial situation like? How much money are you bringing in? Do you have spousal support? Do you have a good savings, you know, balance? And if all those check out, then I take them on. So that's being responsible, I think.
You know, I'm torn on this because I like the visionary role of business, but I actually do think that the industry is going to change in that regards. I don't think 20, 30, 40K ticket items are going to fly anymore. I think if they do, it's going to be for some kind of specific knowledge that someone wants that only this one person has. So you have to pay the money to get through the gate per se. But I think by and large, which even then, like, you have to ask yourself, if it's for that niche of an education, how many clients are you going to attract to solve that problem to pay back that 20, 30, 40K? That's how I look at investments. Like, when I look at like doing classes and stuff like that. What's your ROI? And that's something I would encourage people to do. Like, this is no different now with the way this industry is setting itself up, because you're seeing big businesses start to push these 20, 30, 40K ticket items for all sorts of things. It's almost very similar to college, but it's like going to college to become a teacher. You're going to come out being just smothered in debt and then barely making enough money to kind of get back out of it. So is the juice worth the squeeze? And I think we're going to see, I think 2023 is the year that it's really going to kind of shake itself clean, if you want to know what I think on that.
You know, all industries move in cycles, and our industry is, you know, no exception. And a lot of industries experience bubbles as well. And I do think we are still in a bubble in our coaching industry. Mm-hmm. And a lot of that was ignited by the pandemic. And that will burst eventually. And a lot of people will be left holding the bag. And a lot of the people who got in on it first, like anybody who gets in first on an investment and gets out before it bursts, they're the ones that make all the money and leave unscathed. And then everyone else, they get burned.
Mm-hmm. Jason, you look like you're thinking about something. Anything you want to chime in?
No, I'm just listening to what Jeff was saying. I really don't. I kind of spoke my piece before and you guys kind of ran with it and seemed to agree with me. So no, I don't think I have anything else right now.
You know what I would like to do, and I've always thought this would be cool, and it just kind of has been something in my mind. When people do mentoring, it's almost like offering, like, I think you got to figure out a way to make it where people can look at it and say that's value top to bottom. And if the three of us were to do it, I think it could be separated out enough that we could offer really good mentorship in a lot of different areas, because we all have different things. Like, I don't do mentoring, and I tell people this because I go to a gym and I literally have hundreds of interactions with people every day, plus my online clients, plus my in-person clients, plus my brick and mortar team, plus my online team, that I just don't have the bandwidth to talk anymore to people. Yeah. Like, when I get home as a full-time dad, I'm like, fuck this. I just want to talk to my kid for an hour and then go upstairs and be in silence with a candle lit while I stretch and get ready for bed. You know what I mean? Like, and I do encourage people to think about that. Like, if you're going to go out there, the world does need more people. So if you're inspired to go out there and change it, by all means, change it. But you always have to think about what your ability is to recharge. And I can tell you, because I'm friends with these two guys, that these two struggle immensely with recharging, like, you know, like really getting their batteries charged back up to keep pushing. I watched Jason a couple of weeks ago, just eyes crossed Saturday night at 11 o'clock. Like, and I'm like, you okay, bro? And he's like, no. And I know Jeff has sometimes been like, hey, I'm getting the fuck off the grid. And I think that that's something that, you're going to see mentoring in our space have to work with coaches to help them understand the mental burn of this industry. You know, Lauren and I have talked about this before, Laura Conlon. It's almost like we're psychologists, right? Like, you take a lot of these people burdens on, you know, like, I mean, think about it, right? Like, Jason, you get a client that you can't fix, even though you have like maybe a 5 or 10 minute interaction with them, you know, for the week, for the check-in, whatever it might be. That doesn't mean you don't stop thinking about it for the other 6 days and 24 hours in those 6 days. Like, it's always in the back of your mind, you know, conversations we all have, there's always work. What do you guys do for the self-care side, for the mentorships? I want to pass that out because I think that's the final thing that we should talk about. We've talked about the money you can make. It's great. We talked about the business stuff, which is, hey, kind of frou-frou. You should be looking at the basics and kind of going from that, not having someone tell you to hire 44 VAs and everything else. I mean, they're nice, but, and then we've talked about the education, which we've all said, we all believe, like, hey, the education you're going to get equipped with goes out there and can really serve and create a lot of change in our industry with people we need. And we talked about the personal. We never talked about the self-care. And that's something that nobody ever talks about in our industry. And that's why I think you're going to see this industry in the next few years. I actually believe coaches are going to get out of this industry because of the mental health toll. Because it's hard, man. It's a lot of burdens. I hold 100 people. I know Jeff's around my number. Jason, you're a little above that, if not more. And that mental toll just eats at you week after week after week, and you can't take a week off from check-ins. You know what I mean? Like, it's not a you've got to always be in contact, right? So I want to hear your guys' thoughts. So Jeff, I'll let you go first.
All right. Well, you know, for my group mentorship, I actually have required reading for them before they start. So I gave them 3 months to read, I think, 4 books. One of them is called Just Enough.
I read that book.
Did you?
Yeah, remember I tagged you in it. You recommended me in it. It was a very interesting read about, like, when is it enough? You know what I mean? And I've often asked myself that question.
It was really good. It's written by a Harvard Business School professor named Howard Stevenson. And and it talks, you know, it's mainly geared towards, you know, CEOs and high functioning business owners about finding what is enough for you, because every day we want more, 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 more clients, more impact, more money. And I think recognizing your line, where you want to draw the line in the sand, is the first step towards self-care. Otherwise, you put yourself on a perpetual hamster wheel where you get the Porsche, but you want the Lambo. You got the $500,000 house. Now you want the $1 million. Now you want $2 million homes. Now you want the private plane. It never fucking ends, right? And you're always on the wheel, working yourself to the bone and not enjoying the people around you. That's number one. I think the second important thing is to not erode your authority in exchange for providing better service. So I did that a lot. And Jason, you always told me not to do that. Don't allow your clients to text you and call you at like random hours. And you told me, you said, one day you're going to understand why I don't do that. And I would argue with you. I said, well, Jason, I want to provide the best level of service out there. You know, I want to have that competitive advantage, but you're going to burn out. And I felt that. So now I don't allow my clients to do that unless they're paying me for that. And that larger price point puts a barrier. And a very small amount of people will pay me $1,000 a month to be able to text me. So,
yeah, it makes sense.
Jason, what would you like to say about self-care? Because I can say, like, you know, honestly, man, I watched you, just grind. I'm curious how, you know, you're 17 years, you got all these great things going. How do you take care of yourself with, you know, Advanced Vitality, New Ethics, Scooby Prep, all your biggest months ever? How are you taking care of yourself? Because, you know, you're at a level that me and Jeff are not. So, and that's a level most people might want to get to. So how do you do that?
You know what? Training is a big one for me. that has to be part of my day.
See you on the Masters Olympia stage in a few years, the way you're going, with the way that training is.
If they have a Masters Olympia in the U.S., you could get me out of retirement. Otherwise.
All right, you heard it, ladies and gentlemen. We're making it happen.
There ain't any money in the Masters show. So at this point, not going to mess with it. But yeah, training is still always going to be a big one. I like to get out and take walks, get outside. I'm outside a lot now, tending to the pool, and it's sunny and it's nice and it makes me get out and move. I'm not big on massage, probably should, but I don't do anything like that. And at night, like, I try to be done by 7:30. And then that's just time for me and my loved ones, whether it's just sitting and watching TV and thinking aimlessly, or going out to a nice dinner where we can catch up. Those are all things that I do. But I mean, I know people have heard me talk about this before, but I struggle with, when is it enough? I really do. And I don't know the answer to that question. I know right now, with not having an Olympia goal anymore, I'm just so zoned in on business. I've set some really lofty goals, and I'm going after them. And I feel like I have pretty good energy. I'm sleeping still good at night. So, I mean, I guess with the self-care I do is working okay.
All right. I have a final question for you guys, since you guys were really candid there. I appreciate it. Jeff, as it stands right now, what is enough for you?
I think financially, I have more than enough. I think, I would want to gain a little bit more respect and maybe notoriety in the prep world. So I want to take on more prep clients. And I think if I have some more overall wins, maybe, you know, get a pro card win or two, you know, I think I would feel pretty satisfied in that area. But financially, I've hit my enough point, you know, a long time ago. It's more so for, like, I want to build my name.
Fair. Jason, what about you?
I think for me, when it's enough is when I feel like I can kind of walk away. I can walk away and be happy with the legacy I left. I can walk away and know that my bank account will serve me till the time I die, and I don't have to, you know, crank. You know, so I don't know. That's probably abstract, but that's just kind of how I see it.
Yeah. I think all three of us have gotten to a point now, though, that, like, we don't have to do too much marketing. Like, our names are out there. Like, we get inquiries, you know, just by waking up, right? We're lucky in that sense.
Yeah, so, I agree with that. I'll be honest with you. I was thinking about this the other day. I was like, I don't know what enough is. Like, because, and here's why I answer that question that way. I don't know what else I would do. Like, I want to be a Walmart greeter in my next life, where I just get, like, talk mad shit to people when they come in, like, fuck you, you know, or something like that. And they'll be like, what'd you say? I'm like, I'm just a Walmart greeter. I didn't say shit. You know what I mean? Or just something like random like that, you know, where, like, I'd be like, Jason, knowing that I'm still going to sleep soundly at night. But like, I don't know what else I would wake up and do. Like, like, you know what I mean? Like, because everybody I've ever met who just retires or gives it up, like, they just hate their lives and they end up finding something miserable that they hate after they gave it up. So like, I'm fearful of that. Like, I'm just like,
I don't know, man.
I hope I die early enough I don't have to face that problem.
Retirement sounds good to me, man. I don't think I'll be one of those depressed people. I really don't.
Watch you be even more like uptight and depressed. I'll be like, no, Jason.
I think if I didn't have to get up and jump on a computer as soon as I get out of bed, I would be just fine with it.
Fair. Well, guys, I think that's a pretty good little topic on the mentorships. I think we gave some like real good insights and stuff like that. I think the summary I could tell everybody to do is if you're being asked to pay tens of thousands of dollars for something, really ask yourself and question the utility of the product. Ask around, ask other coaches who've been in these groups. Hell, ask the people that Jason's worked with, Jeff, myself, all sorts of different people. I know Brandon DeCruz does a mentorship, all these different people, Austin Stout that we know. Be sure to ask. I think that that's a big thing. But I wanted to ask you guys like to take this to another level. Mm. Right? It just popped in my head, and I'm curious what the audience will think of this. I would like to do the Excellence Cartel bodybuilding show where we just do fucking cash prizes. Best bodybuilder, best classic bodybuilder, best figure, best bikini, best woman's bodybuilder, cash. First, second, third, not NPC related. Just fucking like just rent somewhere, set up like a stage and online? Just like raise, no, like raise the money, have the event in person. Like, you know, like we can MC it, make it fun. You know, our personalities, yeah, so out like a high school auditorium and just get the best body
that amateurs can gain money in.
Yeah, but if we did it non-APC related, guys, if you're listening, ladies, if you're listening and you think this would be a good idea, let us know, because I will reach out and start finding a place that we could host this at, because I think it would be cool as shit. Because if we could get there are a lot of people that would want to show up and maybe compete and, you know, get a cash prize, that maybe some local people that would give some of these other guys a run for their money, who just, because it's money, right? You know, money motivates differently than getting a pro card for some people. So what do you guys think about that? Have a little New Ethics Formulations presents, you know, little First Cloud Fitness presents, a little Big Daddy Black presents, you know, whatever it might be. But the point being is, I do think that would be something fun that we could do. So I'd be curious to see what the audience thinks if they listen this far by now with all this rambling.
Yeah, see what they say.
Cool. Jeff, what's the topic that we're going to cover next week?
I think we have a guest next week, don't we?
No, it's Andrew Berry. What was the one that we were going to discuss this week? Like blood pressure?
Oh, blood pressure, cholesterol, managing cardiac risk. Yeah.
Sweet. If you guys have any questions about that, get at one of us. And that way we can start formulating stuff, the way we can start framing it out. You guys have any final thoughts? Any final thoughts of wisdom? Mm-hmm. You guys want to plug your mentorships? Anything at all?
I don't want to plug anything, but I want to leave people with like one applicable thought about social media. A lot of coaches who start off in the space, they have a like a be like me mentality. So they post a lot of their own training, a lot of their contest photos that they've competed, or they may, you know, try to copy, you know, other, you know, more well-known figures where, you know, you see a picture of them and then you see a long ass written post and then you don't see a lot of engagement. The reason why that doesn't work is because you haven't built up a level of success. For example, like The Rock, right? You think of The Rock, or you think of like Taylor Swift, right? If she posts something and endorses something, a lot of people will buy it because they want to be like The Rock. Nobody wants to be like you because nobody knows who you are. So what these beginner coaches should do instead of the be like me social media approach is the I see you and I hear you approach, where you empathize with your potential client that you want to work with, and you provide helpful information that serves their needs and give freely so that they are attracted to you. So I think if you take that approach instead of the glamorized gym shots and the long captions on Instagram, you will have much better engagement and you might just sign your next client. So give that a try.
Yep. Jason, what say you?
I think he's 100% right. I feel like my social media, I've kind of taken a few cues from Jeffrey and kind of mixed it within my own. And, I know that I've seen influx of clients coming directly from Instagram, where usually it's just with the word of mouth ones, but I'm seeing more come literally off from Instagram. And it's because I am doing that. You know, I'm showing a reel and I'm saying, hey, this person had this issue and, you know, but look at how well they did after we worked through this, this, and this. So I'm appealing to their, you barely see pictures of me on my feed anymore. And if it is, it's like a lifestyle. It's not me in the gym, like, rah. So occasionally I'll put something on my stories, but it's usually about the client and how I can help.
Yeah. You sound like a baby pterodactyl when you went rah. I was like, wow, that's pretty cute. I'll be honest. I think you guys have seen my social media. It is a no fucks given social media now. I don't care how it looks. I do it for me. Because the way I look at it is like, I'm like, in 10 years, I'm going to want to look back and see how I've evolved. And social media to me just isn't business. Like I have to put it on. I have to put it in the realm of just being there or I don't engage with it. It's very interesting.
Trust me, it can be.
I know. But I maybe, you know, after I release my book and everything else, I'll have the foresight for it. But right now I just don't give two fucks. So, it shows up on there. But anyway, guys, I appreciate your all's time. It was beautiful. Ladies and gentlemen, hopefully you got a little bit of glimpse into what we think of mentorships and why now you understand that Jeff and Jason have the mentorships that they do. And PS, don't message me for mentoring. I'm not interested. Thank you. All right. You guys have yourself a good day.
See you.
All right.
Bye.